Okay. If my face is red, it's because I find it hard to regulate my temperature. It's just one of the quirks of the long COVID, but anyway. It is what it is, as we say. Aliens landed on planet Earth and set up headquarters in the UN building in New York. They addressed most of the world's leaders by saying, "We have been observing you Earthlings for some time, and you're really making a muck up of the Middle East." And, I better put them on. That's better. Hence the reason we came here. Now we want you to go and summon in the Palestinians and the Israelis. We need to see them. And when they arrived, when they arrived, the Palestinians and the Israelis, they were herded into this specially designated meeting room with the aliens. They closed the door all day, nothing. Doors remained closed the whole time. Day two, nothing. Doors still remained closed. Finally, at the end of day three, the doors were flung open. They came. Now, nobody knows the outcome of this meeting, but it was very clear that sympathy lay with the aliens. Now, if it wasn't so sad, what's happening over there is so diabolical. It would be a cute little joke, but it's not. So I think every day it's important that we pray for the peace of Israel, and we pray that the Palestinians will be safe and have their own homeland. And this is something that we really must hold up to the Lord every day. But we all know who can solve this problem, don't we?
Jesus.
Yeah, God.
Jesus.
Yes, thank you. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, as we sang about him this morning, the Lord of Lords and the Prince of Peace. And until he comes, and we pray he comes soon, we're going to have to keep praying for the protection and God's hand of blessing over that sad country. Okay, now, what's God been doing in my life? Well, most of you know that I had long COVID for 3 years and it tried to wipe me out, but I'm still standing. And but it damaged my brain. Some of you have heard this, so I won't go on again. And I have this LBBB, which has been exacerbated. It's in the heart. If you don't know about it, look it up on Google. It's more interesting to know from there than me prattling on about it. And because of that, I've had to stop driving. So I've got a wonderful friend who brings me to church and brings me to home, different places, and takes me shopping and yada yada. And when I had to sell the car, I bought this lovely little mobile called Bonnie B, because she's a bright yellow and you sometimes see her parked in here when I come. But the weather wasn't so good lately, so Merle said, "Look, I think you better leave Bonnie B in the shed and I will keep taking you," which he does. So God bless you and thank you, Merle. I appreciate that very much. But I thought, Lord, what am I going to do? Because nasty arthritis in both my feet and my back carries on and so forth, I guess. And so I thought, what can I do? Because I like to be active in the church. And I was busy doing things, going to the school for breakfast and a few other things that we all do here. And I said, Lord, I just don't want to be parked on a shelf and throw the duster over me now and then. And what can I do? Because I want to be active. I don't want to just sit around and try not to have a pity party. And then I remembered, the Lord reminded me of a sermon that Andrew gave, I think it was either the beginning of this year or late last year, and where he said, if you can't do anything else, just go out into the marketplace. Do any of you recall that message? No, only I was paying attention. Okay, all right. Well, it must have been for me anyway. Yes, the Lord. And it really resonated with me. And I thought, yeah, I can do that. Go out into the marketplace. My marketplace is this, in the Greek, it's oikos, yeah? And so I went up to, go up to Drake's. And now I've written down 8, but I don't know that we'll get through those. The first encounter, and I said, well, Lord, Holy Spirit, you've got to help me here because, no, I'm available. You lead the way. And that's the lovely song, and thank you for it. God does make a way when there seems to be no way. And, excuse me. The first lady I encountered, and they're not all ladies, was outside Kmart and Grand Central. Is it Kmart? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she looked so sad and lost. And I felt a nudge from the Holy Spirit. So I went up to her and said, are you okay, dear? And she said, oh, she said, I've just come out of hospital. And she continued on with her story. And I said, oh, you know, can I help you in any way? And she said, oh, no, I'll be right. And I felt that I should have taken her for a cup of tea or coffee, and I didn't. And I really regretted that, and it still haunts me to this day that I should have done it. But I thought, Holy Spirit, I'm new to this job, so give me a break. But I still pray for her. I write all the names down of the people. And the next encounter I had was with a man up here at High Street. And I came out of Drake's shopping centre with my wheelie walker. I don't go too far without my wheelie walkers. I've had a pretty bad fall at Grand Central several years ago, and I'm not going through that again. Took 3 men to lift me up, and I've still got the scars. Anyway, I was walking past the news agency there, if you know it, and a man about my age came staggering, literally staggering out of the news agent, and he was wobbling, and I thought he was having a heart attack, you know. And I went up to him and I said, are you okay, sir? Can I ring an ambulance for you? And he said, oh, no. He said, no, it's my leg. Oh, anyway, he sort of overbalanced, and here I was, old grandma with the wheelie walker, and he's sort of leaning on me for so he wouldn't fall over. So he must have looked quite a sight. And I said, well, where's your car? And he said, oh, it's parked at the curb there. So I helped him over to the car, and we started chatting, and I said, oh, your leg must be bad. And he proceeded then to lift his trouser leg, pull down the bandage. And yeah, it was not a good look, I can tell you. And he said, I said, have you seen the doctor about this? And he said, oh, yes. He said, I've had several operations. The first one went well. The second one was botched by a surgeon here in Toowoomba. And I thought, oh, I don't want to know the name. And then he said, I'm about just waiting to have another x-ray, another operation. So I said, well, look, I think you better get home now. And next time you bring your wheelie walker. He said, yes, I've got one, but I didn't bring it. And I said, well, it's no good to you at home, you know. And we got chatting about farming, because I said, you're a farmer, aren't you? He said, oh, yes, I was, because I was raised on farms as a kid. And, help brain come back. This is the trouble. My brain shuts off. It's part of the damage. But it'll come back in a second. Anyway, we were talking, we were having a little farmer speak for a while, and then he went home and I toddled home, and I prayed for him. I only pray in the spirit because I really don't want to know what's going on, except it's important, but the Holy Spirit does. And he led him to me. And then there was another lady in Drake's, and I could see she had a hand bandage, the right hand, and she was in a lot of pain. You could see the pain all over her face. And I said to her, that must be so sore. And she said, oh, thank you for looking at it. Thank you for realizing that I'm in pain, you know. And so I said, look, can I help you put your groceries from the shelf into your trolley for you? Oh, no, she said, it's right. I've got to get used to this. I don't know what the story was with the hand. And if they don't volunteer, I don't ask. And I said, well, you know, just take good care of yourself and God bless you. And God bless the others as well. And that was the encounter there. Oh, and now I'm down in Brisbane. He follows me everywhere, the Holy Spirit. You know that he's just with you all the time, thank God. And I occasionally go down and I meet up with one of my dear old friends, and she was my neighbour when I lived at the Gold Coast a while back. And I get the Murray's bus down, get off at Roma Street, and she catches the train up, and we meet up there. And we stay in this really nice, cheap but cheerful little hotel in George Street. So we go down generally on Friday and come back Saturday, Sunday afternoon. And this morning, we sleep over, of course, and Lynn's a great reader, so, and I find it very, oh, I've got to read this, okay, let's get on with it. When I was in college, I had to read 10 books, and this was in Bible college years ago, all of it. Which, and the one that stuck with me was the biography of Golda Meir. If you ever get it, it's fantastic. As you know, she was
Ben-Gurion.
Ben-Gurion, yeah, he was the first, and then she came second. And I'm drifting off a bit here, so I better stick to the script. Anyway, she was having a good read, and I just wanted to get up and go for a walk while it was still early, and I've got my best energy in the mornings. By lunchtime, don't come near me, I'm hopeless. And I wandered around, this hotel is right near the law courts, and I found this kind of walkway, alleyway, what do you call them? Where all the shops are and you walk
arcade.
Through.
Arcade.
Thank you, arcade, yeah. And I found a great tea shop there. So if you're ever in Brisbane, go to this arcade just near the law courts. Wonderful, they've got all these exotic teas and they're beautifully packaged, so it makes great Christmas presents. And I was walking back, and I saw this lovely lady, oh, she would have been in her early 30s maybe, coming the other way, but she looked stressed. But she was beautifully dressed, because I'm a real skirt person, I love them more so in the summer. And I said to her, wow, you look so elegant, and I love that skirt. Well, she was just thrilled. Oh, she said, I really needed to hear that. I've got a case in court this morning and I don't think I'm prepared for it. It's just amazing what the Holy Spirit does. He's on the job and he gets it right. And I said, well, I know you'll do well today. You'll really do well. And she said, oh, I needed to hear that. Thank you so much. And then I went back and told Minnie about this great, really healthy foods in abundance, their salads and all this other good stuff. And later that day, we were walking together, me, old grandma with her wheelie walker. Sorry, grandma's with wheelie walkers here. We were walking down the mall, going to this new kind of Japanese place that sells really great clothes and reasonably priced too. Anyway, behind us, I heard this big masculine voice and he said, you ladies look as though you've got really kind hearts. I thought, well, that's interesting. And so anyway, he came and walked up beside us. And he was well-groomed, but he had this long beard. And so, and I said, are you in the forces? He said, yes. He said, I'm a major in the army. Hello, I've got a son in the army, or was. He was a medic, two tours of Afghanistan. And I was telling him, I've got a son that's over there. He did two tours and he's back now, but I said, oh, his head's in a mess. He said, oh, well, I know what that's all about. None of them, no matter what rank, from general down, none of them come home normal. Mm. And anyway, you could see he just wanted to chat. Now, how was that? Here he was, same problems as my son. Been to Afghanistan, and he said, oh, did he land at Tarin Kot? And I said, yes, he did, because that's the big American base there where they all come in, Germans, Dutch, I don't know about the English, maybe they're there, but it's mainly the Aussies and the Australian Medical Corps. And that's where he said, oh, my men built the airstrip for that place. And I said, oh. And I said, oh, my son lives in Townsville. And he said, oh, my son lives in Townsville too. And he's also a soldier. So the Holy Spirit gets it right every time, doesn't he? And he proceeded to chat. And he had some emblems on his jacket. He told me about some of them, you know, and so forth. But you could see he wanted to talk, and we were safe. We were grandmotherly and no threat to him in any way. And he wanted to talk longer, but poor Lynn felt right out of this because she doesn't have a son in the army. And I said, oh, look, I'm sorry, we'd love to chat further. But I said, the Lord bless you and keep you. And he said, thanks. And we went on our way, as did he. And then we came back to Toowoomba. And Merle and I were out one day having coffee. We left early and she hadn't had breakfast, so she was kind of
hanging
weak
out
at the knees. I might have been the one weak at the knees. Anyway, we were sitting in, what's it called, Jamaica Blue or something? Right. And we were right at the edge where people walk by. And this lady came past. Now, Merle is a fantastic dressmaker, a seamstress, very professional. And I said to her, gosh, look at this lady coming. Doesn't she look really well dressed? And she said, yes. And I said, look, I can't let you pass without telling you how stunning you look in that outfit. Well, her face just lit up. Oh, she said, I need to hear that today. And then not long after that, another lady came past, and she was nice trousers, I think they were. And Merle said, gee, that outfit's well put together. And I said, well, tell her. Go on, you tell her. And so Merle did. And she, her face lit up too. That, you know, it just needs a little bit of our time. And be genuine in what we say. Sorry, I get a bit emotional. I think it was life and death in the power of the tongue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We can speak life or death. Mm-hmm. I choose life. Mm-hmm. And I said, it's fun, isn't it, to cheer people up? Because there's so many, and particularly ladies, our vintage and younger, all ages, and they're just so bowed down. If they don't know the Lord, as somebody said earlier today, if you don't know the Lord, you haven't got a refuge. You haven't got that rock. Anyway, you bored to snores yet? No? Okay. Well, I'll leave it and just tell one more because
you're right.
You got heaps of time.
Okay. Well, I'll give you two more then. There was a lady, Veronica Moore, lovely lady. She and I were going to do lunch, which we don't do very often, but we did this day. And we were going to the City Golf Club. And she raced in before me because I sort of hobble up the stairs. And she said, oh, I just have to go in. And she did something with one of the machines in there. It wasn't a poking machine, I can assure you of that. So anyway, I noticed this lady. She was sort of propped up on the kind of a fancy thing with concrete thing. And no ruler, but you know what I'm talking about. And she just looked, is this for me, Holy Spirit? Yep, sure is. So I went up to her and I said, how are you going today? Oh, well, I heard it. Da-da, da-da, da-da. 7 minutes and I heard a life story practically. And she was just wanting to share and offload. I don't know what the problems were, except I won't share with you, but I thought, oh dear. And I thought, oh, shall I talk to her about the Lord? But I knew that Veronica was inside. Oh, who's she talking to now? So I said, I had to cut her off, and I said, oh look, I've got a friend waiting for me inside, so I need to go in now. But I said, you have a good day. And just, you know, whatever I said, I can't remember now, but it was something encouraging. And I said, and God bless you, because he loves you dearly. And so then I went inside and explained to Veronica why I was outside, but she knows me. Anyway, the last one was another soldier. I thought, gosh, see, I'm used to talking to soldiers because Ryan used to bring mates home. They're all soldiers, so I know the soldiers speak and everything. And I was having to go that day to the Neil Street Clinic, is that what, yeah, and for various things. They were getting to know me there. And I had to go in and get in one of those tunnels, you know, and clangs and carries on. I forget whether it was for the heart or the bones or what it was all about. And but before I went there, I got out of the taxi. Yes, thank the Lord too. I've managed, my dear doctor has, and this might be something that you may not know about, but if you don't have your own vehicle, because I can't drive anymore because of the LBBB episodes, and I was going down the walkway. What's it called again? I've forgotten it.
Arcade,
thank you. Yes, sorry, it just doesn't compute sometimes. And I went, and here, coming the other way, was this big, strapping, gorgeous soldier, all in formal gear, hat, you know, the whole works and jerks. And I just said, ah, oh, can, you know, I held my hand out and said, thank you, thank you. We love you, Australia loves you. Always shake their hand, and I thank you for your service. You guys, I said, just, I didn't tell him my son was an army person, and I just said, thank you, we appreciate you so much. You keep us safe, and you keep our country safe, and we want to thank you so much. And I thought he was going to cry. A big, you know, gorgeous looking fellow, if I was 50 years younger, but that's long gone. And he just said, I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. So when you ever see somebody with service, you know, the AMBOs or police, just stop and say, thank you for your service. It means the world to them. It really does. And unless you've got some questions for me, that's my lot. But it's amazing what God can do. He'll use us in any capacity. Here I am, a little old lady with a wheelchair and a mobile, the Bonnie B. When, oh, I could have brought it today, Merle, but thank you for picking me up. And, you know, he can use us anyway. And that song was just terrific, you know, that last song. God will make a way when there seems to be no way. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Marlon. Well, I just felt we need to get into little groups before we got 10 minutes and just share about incidents. I'm sure you've all had incidences, you know, accounting, or what do you call it, times when you've God's used you. And I know what Marlene's saying about that time you felt you missed the mark, that first one. You said, I can remember my mum going into the doctor's, sitting waiting, and this young girl came out in tears, and mum could see her in her car, and she was just sobbing at the steering wheel. And mum's felt that she'd missed an opportunity. She said, I should have gone to her. I had this urge inside me to go to her, to go to her and at least say, okay, you know, can I? And mum said, then I heard the other voice say, don't interfere, it's got nothing to do with you. And I know my mum always felt that she missed an opportunity. So we've just got to allow, but don't beat yourself up. No. We've all done that.
I was you on the job,
Ben. Yeah, you on the job. So if you want to, if you just, yeah, I'm sure you've got 10 minutes, yeah, just to share. Come on, girls, start moving.